I like what Robert Thomas says in his Revelation commentary. He says, no number in Revelation is verifiably a symbolic number. John knows how to use the expression short time and long time. He does that in Revelation 20, but here he just gives it an actual number. The number is 1,000 years. And beyond that, if we are in the kingdom now, then why isn't Jesus reigning on David's throne? Shouldn't we see David's throne occupied in Jerusalem by Christ? It's not. Where is Jesus right now? Revelation 3, verse 21. Revelation 12, verse 5. Never say he's on David's throne reigning. He is on the Father's throne, functioning not as king, but as high what? Priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Excellent. So Christ has three offices: prophet, priest, and king. Prophet in his first coming, king in his second advent. But today the Bible is very clear. He's not functioning as king. Who is the god of this age? Satan is. He's yet to be deposed, but he is still functioning as the god of this age. That doesn't mean Christ isn't doing anything. He is active at the Father's right hand, functioning as high priest. One of the things he does is he makes intercession for us. Aren't you happy about that? He prays for us. He restores broken fellowship when we get out of line and we fall into sin. He's building the church. He's giving the church spiritual gifts. I mean, these are all wonderful ministries that he's doing, but they are ministries as he functions as high priest, not as king. And the book of Revelation is very clear that he is not reigning on David's throne now. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But you see, the preterist system has to put him on David's throne now. They have to take the number 1,000 symbolically to get their system to work. Let's go to Revelation 21 and 22. Let me take you to a 12th issue. 13 total, so one more to go after this. The tribulation is about to end. That was supposed to be a joke. Eternal state. Now, what in the world are preterists doing with the eternal state? What do we believe the eternal state is? We believe that it's a period of time, which it's actually not a period of time. It lasts forever. It follows the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is after the great white throne judgment. It is that final part of the graph there that I have on the far right, Revelation 21 and 22. It's a wonderful period of time when the New Jerusalem descends and takes its spot on a brand new earth. It's a time period when sin and evil and depravity are formally banished. It's a time period where Satan is in the lake of fire and Satan has had his heyday and it's all over. That's a proper understanding of the eternal state. What do preterists say the eternal state is? They believe it's a spiritual new creation that began in the first century. Now, I miss the good old days when we used to debate whether or not we're in the kingdom. These guys aren't even saying we're in the kingdom. They're saying we're already in the eternal state. This isn't even the old premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial debate. This is a brand new view called transmillennialism, where they're arguing that we are in the eternal state now. To get there, look at the games you have to play with the text of the book of Revelation. What's in the eternal state? What's not there? No Satan. No ocean. Do we have an ocean today? I think so. I just flew across the Pacific, didn't I? I looked out the window, it looked like an ocean to me. No death, no crying or pain. Are those realities today? Of course they are. No sun, no moon. There won't be any luminaries in the eternal state. We obviously are not in the eternal state because you can go outside and look up into the sky and you can see the sun. There won't be a temple. There won't be night. There won't be evil. Now, obviously, that's not happening today because we click on the news and we see terrorist activity after terrorist activity. The curse will be gone. I mean, how in the world can people with a straight face argue that this is happening today? And yet, this is the preterist system that's being foisted upon our youth. And one more, and with this we're finished. The concluding exhortation. Take a look, if you will, at Revelation 22 and verse 10. Notice how the book of Revelation concludes. And he said to me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." Now, the preterist compares Revelation 22 verse 10 to Daniel 12 verse 9, where Daniel was told to go his way. "For these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." The preterist says, aha, the words were sealed in Daniel's day, but when you get to the end of the book of Revelation, the vision is unsealed. And they say the reason that it's unsealed is because it was about to happen. The whole vision was about to experience a fulfillment in AD 70. But I would challenge them to read the biblical text carefully. Daniel 12 and verse 9 does not say the vision is sealed. It says the words of the vision is sealed. Revelation 22 and verse 10 does not say the vision is unsealed, but the what? Words of the vision is unsealed. Well, why does it matter? It matters plenty. God never says in Revelation 22, verse 10, the vision is unsealed. He says the words are unsealed. What does that mean? It means now the vision can be understood because you have a completed canon. Daniel couldn't understand it. That's why he was told in the 6th century to go his way. But with the closing of the canon in the first century, you now have a completed canon. You can now put the book of Revelation together with the book of Daniel, sort of like assembling a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle, and you can see the whole picture. What becomes unsealed in the first century when John concludes the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos is not the vision becoming fulfilled, but now the vision is understandable. And the diligent student now has all of the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle necessary to see a giant mosaic of what God is doing. See, it's hard to put together a jigsaw puzzle when pieces are missing, isn't it? But now God says, here's all the pieces. Now it's up to you people at Awake to Israel and other systematic theologians to take these pieces and put them together and see the beautiful mosaic. It's never saying the vision was unsealed in the first century, the way these preterists are arguing. Rather, the vision is now understandable. Wow, that was a heck of a session, wasn't it? I promise you they're not all going to be quite this deep. But I wanted to give you a panorama of what preterists are saying in the area of hermeneutics, time text, the theme verse of Revelation, Revelation's relevance to the seven churches, the so-called divorce decree, the 144,000, the temple, the woman in the wilderness, the beast, Babylon herself, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the eternal state, and the concluding exhortation. I trust and pray that as you review some of this material, as the audio becomes available, you'll be more and more equipped to engage in intelligent conversations with people that are swept into this doctrine. What's the bottom line? The book of Revelation is futuristic. Well, why didn't you just say that at the beginning? Well, because we wanted to have a little fun this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, we're grateful for what you've given us in Bible prophecy. We know that this is a lot of information, but at the same time, you've called us to a higher level of understanding and putting together information. So I just ask that you'll be with us in this conference as we try to do that to gain a better grasp of your prophetic word. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.